Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
All right, good morning, everybody. How are we? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. My name's Josh. I'm a support pastor here. Oh, look, it says that. That's my name. So we're in a series, I should say, the Influencer series. And these are all brought out of Ephesians 4. We have apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, right? So I kind of took them all and put them into my words so I could understand them, because sometimes their words are too big. So the way I look at this is we have the apostle who searches out and creates new opportunities. The prophet encourages and exhorts the community to faithfulness. The evangelist communicates the message and vision clearly. The shepherd tends and creates opportunity for growth. And the teacher brings understanding and illuminates. So we're talking about the shepherd today, the shepherd influencing style. And I got picked because I am the lone shepherd on the support team. Yeah. Just me by myself. Come on, guys. Let's start with looking actually at the word of the shepherd. All right, this is important. We know that the word shepherd is an interesting word with a deep and rich history. In researching the etymology of this word, I found something really interesting. The word shep means sheep. All right? And the word herd means to herd. It's a compound word, and you put them together, and it means sheep herd. And at some point, someone just didn't know how to spell, or maybe they talked funny, and it's shep. So from this point forward, we will look at all those fuzzy, beautiful little creatures and call them sheps, okay? I am a shepherd. I heard all the shep. So you can put that in your journal for today. You learned something. You're welcome. We do know that the word is used throughout the Bible. As a title, as an action, it's a theme. It's used in the Old Testament, amongst other things, to show God's relationship with humanity. He is our shepherd. It's frequently used as an analogy for Christ in the New Testament. We know it's used as a verb, showing action, and as a noun, showing a title. It's found 182 times in the Bible. It's not the most, clearly, but that is a significant amount, so it pays to pay attention to that. There are three words that are used that are translated into shepherd. In Greek, it's poimen, and in Hebrew, it's ra'ah. Ra'ah, which is super cool. It's really fun to say. Like, try it. And you guys, you got ra'ah. What do you do for a living? I shepherd. And then in Greek, the poimen, I thought it was interesting because it sounds derogatory to me. It's poimen and poimeno. And I just feel like if someone walked up to you and said, "Yeah, poimen," like, you don't know me. Don't talk to me like that. How dare you? I'm a shepherd. So I know I'm the lone shepherd all by myself because I took a lot of personality tests. And we've been going through that together as a church. We went through the GPS, the gifts, passion, and story. We're in the APEST thing now. And I am a shepherd. And I learned that from taking personality tests. I just need to be honest with you all. I really hate personality tests. like with my heart, all of it right there. Just, I don't like it. Is anybody else with me? Am I by myself on the personality? My wife could take personality tests. She's like, oh, I'm a golden retriever. Oh, this is fine. If you were a character from this, I'm this. Because that's how she talks. Don't tell her I said that. They're so long. They're like the last ones that we've taken. They take like a half an hour. And then every third question is the same question, just phrased differently. And I was like, I just told you that. No, I don't like it. It's still a one. And maybe I'll change my mind just to throw things off. And I could be a golden retriever too. And I say that to protect myself because I don't want to say the next sentence in that. I really actually don't like personality tests because I don't like what they say about me. I don't like the answers I get. I always want that part especially to be different. Or at least I did. And I should make that clarification because I think it's important. When I would read the responses, it didn't meet the ideal image of what a man should be. But I reconciled myself to it after a few years because I learned something really important, that a deeper understanding of who we are allows and creates a space for our gifts to be used effectively. So if I tried to be something other than what I really was, it would just come across empty. It'd be fake. And I knew that my biggest pet peeves was being fake and feeling manipulated. I don't do it. So why would I try to be something I'm not? I have a motto. It's esse quam videri. It's Latin. I don't know what it means either. But it's fun to say. Try it. Esse quam videri. I lied before. I do know what it means. It means to be rather than to appear. And I think that's really important. And then after I had it tattooed on my body, I found out it's the state motto of Virginia. So me and old Virginia got that going. I had to learn what manhood entailed for me. And what it was to be a man and not to appear as a man. So I had to look at what's a shepherd? And since Melissa did a word association, I thought that was fun, and Andrew did kind of one, I thought I would do one too because I'm a follower. So here's what I came up with in the span of like 30 seconds. I was like, shepherd, okay, go. I got hardworking, good with animals, bearded, carries a staff, fearful, like as in the nativity, or the Christmas story, fearless, as in David, watchful, and cool dogs. Right? I mean, that's like the best part. I would hate to be a shepherd and wander around with sheep all day, but if I got those cool dogs, like, go get my coat, dog. Oh, okay. Said the dog. So that's it. That's the shepherd, according to Josh. Thank you for coming today. It's been great. Blessings on you. But now let's actually move into... Don't leave. Let's move into actual scripture. And before we do that, we definitely need to pray because that was like the longest intro ever. And you're welcome. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you meet us where we're at. We thank you that you created us for a purpose. God, I ask that you would help us to align ourselves with you and align ourselves with what you created us to be, that we would move effortlessly and perfectly in these functions of the church, that those called to be apostles, that those called to be prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers would rise up and we would move in the way we were created to move. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at Psalm 23. Like I said, there's 182 mentions of the word shepherd. And I think this has to be the most famous. And I chose it because it's the most famous, because you will see this for the rest of your life. And when you see it, for all us shepherds out there, let it remind you of who you are and who you're called to be. And for everybody else, we're all called to this. We're all called to these things. We all move in them. And so this is how you do it. So I found something interesting. We found, when I was looking at Psalm 23, they think King David is looking back on his life. This was written in his later years. It can't be proven. This is just a theory. But the way it's written, he's reflecting on the ways that God has related to him. He was a shepherd boy before he was anointed as king, so the tasks and daily lives of a shepherd would be very familiar. Basically, he's looking back at his youth through rose-colored glasses, you know, laying in fields with the sheep and beating large carnivores to death. No? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we see this passage. It starts with, the Lord is my shepherd. But we can use this information to explore how someone with the shepherd function relates to those around them and influences those around them. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The shepherd is a caregiver, ensuring the needs of the sheep are met. This includes physical, but also mental, spiritual, and emotional needs. So this looks like the people in this church that when they see a need, they run to fix it. And I guarantee you, I have seen it over and over and over in this church. And it makes me so proud. I set up a meal train. And I had to turn people away. That's incredible. That's great. Those are the shepherds in our church who are like, something's happened. How can I help? Physically, practically, what can we do to make this better for them? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So I know that there's a lot of interpretation in this verse of rest, Sabbath, those kind of things. God making us lay down. Like it says, it makes you lay down. Like you will lay down. You can tell I've had that conversation before. You will go to bed. But this, when we're looking at it from a shepherd perspective, we see the day in the life of a sheep. You have eating, you have sleeping, and you have drinking water. A man's desire is to know and to be known. So we see the shepherd is constantly present. We see he's coming alongside in the day-to-day activities. God created us to be in community with him and with others. This is in the herd. The shepherd. So what does this look like? This practically, this looks like allowing yourself to have real relationship with people so your life is not hidden. When we lived in California, we lived in these apartments. And it was 9 apartments up above our church. And it was probably one of the greatest influences on our ministry and what we thought of ministry in our lives. The community and the growth that happened there was it was expedited. We were just all so close. And the story that comes to mind is Melissa was pregnant with our 4th, and she never got morning sickness when she was pregnant. She just got all the time sickness for 9 months. Like, people were like, "Oh, it's just the first trimester." She's like, "No thanks, I'll just throw up for 9 months and that'll be great." And it was awful, which shows you kind of how much of a toughie she is, because we have 4 and she's like, "Yeah, bring it on. More babies." "Are you sure?" "I love babies." She talks weird. She's got a lot of... But so our one neighbor, he worked at night, and he would take care of his kids during the day. And he would come over and get the older kids and just give Melissa a break. Because he knew. He knew how hard it was. He knew what she was going through. And we're just forever grateful for that kind of relationship that you have. And how important it is to have those people who are shepherds in your life, who see and understand and provide respite. "He refreshes my soul." I feel like here we're talking about spiritual friendships, spiritual direction, and providing counsel. In Proverbs 18, it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." That relationship will change you forever. We need family. We need blood. But we need family who have chosen us and we have chosen them. And we have to search them out. We have to seek for them. We have to keep trying. We have to keep going. Because it's hard. But let me tell you, I have a group of guys, there's 5 or 6 of us. We've been friends. One of the guys I've been friends with since I was 13, and I'm 39. And we're in contact all the time. And we've been through gross stuff together, just brutal. And there's been fights and friction. But these are the people who I would like give my kids to. You know what I mean? Like, I trust these people with my life. I trust my kids to them. They are blood. And as someone who grew up, I moved every like 2 to 3 years to have these kind of relationships. It changes you. These people make you grow. And we can be in our bubbles and we can live our little lives and eat our TV dinners, but nothing's going to change you like allowing God to move through your friends. So keep working at it. Don't let yourself get insulated or isolated. So here the tone changes. "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." It changes from comfort and care and providing rest to discipleship, mentoring, and development. We all have something to offer in our relationships. Not just me, the shepherd, up here, but we all have something to offer in our relationships. And providing wisdom when it's asked for, and providing that knowledge and understanding is important. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." This is the NIV, and they made a huge mistake here in the translation. because it should say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because my goodness, that's like the coolest line ever put down to paper. Like, really, through the darkest valley, when you could have said the valley of the shadow of death? It's epic. Valley of death, come with me. That's me talking, not even Melissa. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd is with David. Here we see protector. Here we see comforter. Here we see empathy. I've been through this valley. I can go with you. Sympathy would say, yeah, that valley is rough. Empathy would say, I'm next to you. I'll guide you. I'll be with you. I'll walk with you. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I know which way to go. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we have the protector, comforter aspect. And here we have the rod and the staff. Here it changes a little bit. The staff, the big shepherd's crook, right? We've all seen it, Little Bo Peep, and that's who I have. It's my hero. Hero of the faith, Bo Peep. So it's like their greatest tool. They still use them all the time. It provides guidance to the flock as they're moving along, a little tap, tap. Sheep want to wander off by themselves. Hey, stay in there, buddy. You got this. Just keep moving forward. They used it to catch the sheep. Did you know that if, thanks, Lysha, did you know that if you just hook their back leg, they stop moving? They just give up. So if you need to catch a sheep, all you got to do is just get them a little bit, and then you can do what you need to do. They're used to carry the lambs to the ewe. If you touch a sheep, or I'm sorry, if you touch a lamb, right after it's born, the mom will have nothing to do with it. So these, like the biblical shepherd, I always think of, you know, a guy wandering through the hills with 15 sheep, you know. But no, this was like sheep factory. In Bethlehem, I read a thing where it was talking about the sheep needed for the sacrifices for Passover and stuff like that was 250,000. They had to raise tons of sheep, and sheep all have babies at the same time. So you have this huge flock of sheep, and everybody's having babies. I've been there when babies are born, and it's crazy. And that's just one. 250,000 at a time. So you got your work cut out for you. But the rod is different. The rod isn't, I really think it should have been translated as club. Your club and your staff, they comfort me. I would like to be first in line that say, sometimes the staff works, but mostly it's the club. Lord bless me. Because there's a lot of times where it's like, hey, buddy. Hey, pal. Get back in line. Come on. Whoonk. Do what you're told. Okay. That really hurt. So, yes, it's for the sheep, the naughty sheep, the naughty sheps. But also, this is a weapon. These guys carried a weapon, and this weapon was defensive. They weren't going out looking for carnivores, but they would protect their herd from them. The shepherd is there for protection. Bringing people together, allowing community, giving community a place to grow, and protecting that community. Can I have the worship team come up? So we know that God was described as a shepherd in the Old Testament. We know that David was talking about the Lord in Psalm 23. We see Jesus is described as a shepherd in the New Testament. But I want to read you another passage about tending sheep. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says. I want you to listen because he makes it very clear. He makes it very simple. And it's obvious that it's important. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." When we feed, when we tend, when we care for, when we protect our community, it's an act of love for God. And whatever that looks like for you, it's an act of love for God. I misunderstood what it meant to be me, to be a shepherd. I felt that a shepherd was to be less than. But I see that a shepherd is more than that. It's a protector, a provider, a defender, a guide, and a companion. We look at the shepherds in the Christmas story, and we know that they were considered lowly and outcast. But they were first to hear the good news. And not only did they hear the good news, they weren't following the twinkle of a star or a rumor. The heavens opened up. And all of the heavenly host was before them. How many times has that happened in the Bible? It's like two or three. I should have looked that up. I'm new. But how many times? Not a lot. And the range of the Bible is thousands of years. And the shepherds were the first to know. Jesus is asking us to show our love for him by feeding his lambs. The next generation. Did you see him up here? Did you hear how much of the story was I was talking to, and they mentioned their leaders that trusted them, and they trusted them, and they loved them because they were feeding them. They were pouring into them. Feeding for his sheep. Caring for his sheep. We see the model in Psalm 23. Providing for others' needs, being involved in others' lives, offering support, counsel, guidance, comfort, and defense. This is how we influence. And if that's you, and you're like me, and you're like, I would much rather be this, fill in the blank, stop it. You're spinning your wheels. We have to accept who we are. We have to move forward in it. And in that, we're unstoppable. We're powerful. We create movements. Because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Not what we see other people doing and think that's how we're supposed to do it. I can never be Chad. I can never be Chad. I can never have that entrepreneurial apostle spirit. But I can be me. And I can care for the people that are drawn to him. And it'll be effective and powerful and used mightily. And I say that without pride, because I am a shepherd and there's nothing else I can be. So use your influence. Use it wisely. Learn it. Know it. Father God, we come before you and ask that your words would settle in us, that your words would build a home, that we would use them as the foundation of our thoughts, that we would use them in how we minister. Bless us, Lord. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's go ahead and say the prayer we say every week. And we'll close out here. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Great week. We'll see you next week. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.